we're going to look in Genesis chapter 35, and I want to share a message entitled The God of the House of God out of Genesis chapter 35. In verse 1 says, "And God said unto Jacob, Arise, go up to Bethel, and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God, and appear unto thee, that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. Then Jacob said unto his household and all that were with him, Put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments. And let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make thee an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way which I went. And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand, and all their earrings, and that which were in their ears, and Jacob hid them under the oak which was by Shechem. And they journeyed, and the terror of the Lord was upon the cities that were round about them, and they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. And Jacob came to Luz, which is in the land of Canaan, that is Bethel, he and all the people that were with him. And he built there an altar, and called the place El Bethel, because there God appeared unto him when he had fled from the face of his brother." Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for allowing us to be here tonight. And Lord, we're thankful for our brother from the Philippines, and Lord, to be able to hear a report of what God's doing, and Lord, to sense the burden that's on his heart. And Lord, I pray that we would never lose a burden for souls to be saved here and around this world. God, may we never forget the responsibility and duty that we have that is placed upon us to reach out to multitudes of people who are on their way to hell, and that we might be able to share the good news that Jesus can save them, Lord, and deliver them from the bondage of all their sin. I pray tonight as we study this passage together that we might not just see a place, but when we see the God who is the supreme ruler and controller and creator of all things. And so, Lord, speak to our hearts tonight. If there's someone here not saved, I pray they might come to know Christ as their Savior. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, verse 7 is our text verse. It says, "And he built there an altar and called the place El Bethel, because there God appeared unto him when he fled from the face of his father." From the face of his brother. Bethel was a place where Abraham and Jacob had a special meetings with God. We know that Abraham would meet with God in Genesis chapter 12 at Bethel. It was in Genesis chapter 28 that we read of the record of Jacob meeting with the Lord. From that point, Jacob travels to the house of Laban and serves him for 21 years to take Rachel to be his wife. And God tells Jacob to go back to his homeland in Genesis chapter 31. And as he traveled, he must meet his brother Esau. We know the story of Esau and the conflict between he and Jacob. And Jacob was fearful of having to want it once again to be able to face his brother Esau. But on his way back, he would have to meet with him. And literally in chapter 32 of Genesis, we know that Jacob would struggle all night long with God in prayer. After that, we know that he would literally go, and as he traveled, he would stop in chapter 33, and I'm just kind of summarizing this whole story. He would stop short of where God wanted him to be in chapter 33 of Genesis. The problem was, when he stopped short of where God wanted him to be, literally as a result, his daughter is defiled in Shechem. And not only is his daughter defiled, but his brothers take vengeance and murder people. And literally, Jacob finds himself in a position where he is disgraced in front of the heathen that are around him. And as a result of that, chapter 35, verse 1, God said to Jacob, "Arise and go up to Bethel." And it was because of all these conflicts, because of all these experiences, because of all these consequences of not being exactly where God wanted him to be, that he suffered these things. And the answer to the problem was, get back to Bethel. And so God commands him to arise. And when he arrives in Bethel, he doesn't call it Bethel, which means house of God. He calls it El Bethel, which means the God of the house of God. Now, one of the things you have to remember when you're studying the Bible, and especially going through the Old Testament characters that's recorded for us, it is very easy to focus on the individual's, the story about the individual, and completely miss the God of the individual. We are not studying the Bible just to find out what different people did, but rather we're studying the Word of God to find out the God who did what he did through those people. And if we miss the reality of the presence of God Almighty, then we have failed in our study, and we have failed in what God wants us to see and understand. So when Jacob finally arrives at Bethel, he calls the place God of the house of God, because he is focusing on God rather than the position. Notice the purification that took place in verse 2. The purification that took place was by inspiration. In verse 2, in verse 8, it says, then Jacob said unto his household and all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you. And so this matter of inspiration, I know I don't have these four, 3 points on the slides, but you can write them down there. Inspiration, put away the strange gods. And now listen, when you want to know who God is, you can't approach him through false prophets and false teachers. You have to put away the strange gods that are among us, the strange so-called Bibles that are among us. We need to be able to open up the Word of God and know that, yes, this is the Word, and this is thus saith the Lord, and it is inspired of God, and it is without errors, and it declares the holiness in the person of God. We pick up the Bible, and we hold on to that to find direction and leadership in our life. He's getting ready to go to meet with the God of Bethel, but before he does that, he has to put away the strange gods. If we want to have a sweet relationship with the living God, we cannot approach him through false means. And so there's inspiration. Notice there's sanctification in verse 2. He said, put away the strange gods that are among you and be clean. That's sanctification. You know, the Bible has called us to be holy. Why? Because the Lord is holy. Sanctification is being separated from our sin and separated unto our God. So he tells them, you need to clean up, you need to be sanctified, you need to be holy, because they're going to the place where they're going to meet with God. So there's inspiration, there's sanctification. Notice in verse 2, there's separation. He said, change your garments. And so there was a putting off. There was a separation, if you will, of what they were. They had come out of the land where Laban lived, and no doubt there was influences that caused them to dress differently. It is for sure that as they traveled through the land, that they were taking on and assuming some of the characteristics of the heathen that were around them. Israel constantly had a problem with that. But Jacob is going to go to meet with the God of the house of God. And because of that, he says, change your garments. And we need to allow Jesus Christ to be put on and put off the world. We need to put off the old man and put on the new man. And so there needs to be this sanctification and this separation from the world. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. They're getting ready to go into the presence of God, and they are required to have a spirit of separation. So they're going to the God of the house of God. So look, first of all, of what takes place here as Jacob approaches God at Bethel, and he identifies it as El Bethel. First of all, realize this, the God of the house of God can change you. He can change you in verse 10. And God said unto him, thy name is Jacob, and thy name shall be called any more Jacob, but Israel shall be thy name. And he called his name Israel. So God can change you. Oftentimes people say, well, wait a minute, God can't change people. We live in a day where people say, well, you can't tell people they need to be holy, and you can't tell people they need to change because of the fact that in the days that we live, we have to accept all these things. No, I want you to know that God can make you a different person. You don't have to be the same person you were that you were without Jesus Christ. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And so God can literally change you. This morning we had a young fellow come in the 11 o'clock service. Straightforward, honest young man. I appreciate it. And I talked with him after the service. And I mean, he just flat out said, I know I'm going to hell. And he said, I don't know anything about church. I really didn't go to church when I was younger. I don't know anything about being right with God, and I want to know. And so I brought him in my office. I said, well, what is it that you want to do? What is it you want to know? And he said, I want to know how to be right with God. I want to know how my life can be different. And I led him to the Lord. He trusted Christ as a Savior. Amen. Very sincere man. Pray for him. His name's Philip. And we're going to follow up with him and help him to grow in the Lord. But wait a minute. If God can do that in the heart of a 20-something from a college campus, that's not a Christian college. Amen. Now, why are we sitting around saying that God can't make a difference in people's lives? God can make a difference in people's lives if we'll share with them the God of the house of God. And so he can make a change in you. He changed me. If I was to take testimonies tonight, you could testify that God changed you. Then why do we think in 2016 he can't change people? So he can change you. He can make you a different person. He can establish a different practice. A different practice in your life. The way that Jacob was going to live was going to be totally different than the way that he used to live. And God can make a difference in your life. In Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 17, Paul says, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. So God can change your practice. He can change who you are and he can change how you live. And if God can take away, listen, the filthy taste of booze in my mouth, then he can do it today. If God can deliver people from drugs, I know the young fellow I was talking to this morning, and I asked him about praying, and he said, well, I'm afraid I'll mess it up. I don't know how. And I told him, I said, well, my brother-in-law was a drug addict when my pastor met him, and he prayed, this is what he prayed. He said, God, if there is a God, save me if you can. You know what? That's been a long time ago, and he's still saved. And so if you have a heart that wants to meet with the God of the house of God, I'm telling you, he can make a difference in who you are and how you live. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1 says, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in times past you walked according to the course of this world. Notice he says, in the time past you walked according to the course of this world, not in the time present. According to the prince of the power of the air, he was your God, but he's not any longer. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, that's not you, because you've obeyed unto the saving of your soul, among whom also we have had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were of nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, which is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. Hallelujah, that he can make a difference in our practice. He can make a difference in how we live. I'll tell you what the problem is. We're just going to a building rather than meeting with the God of the building. And all that we might have an encounter with God. He can change you. He can make you different in your person, different in your practice. He can make you different in your position. Notice he said, thy name was called Jacob, but not anymore. God gave him a new name. I'm glad there's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Hallelujah, what a Savior. He said, your name shall be called Israel. What was this different position? Jacob was a supplanter. He was a trickster. I mean, he was someone could not be trusted. But now he is called Israel. Now he is a prince with God. And I want you to know tonight, when you trust Christ as your Savior, Your position is changed from being the enemy of God to being the children of God. Your position is changed where you're no longer a child of the devil, but you're a child of the King. I want you to know your position has changed because you no longer are seeking after and dwelling in the corruptness and the temporary existence of this world, but your feet are placed on heavenly places. Hallelujah, what a Savior. See, when you meet the God of the house of God, you find out he can change you. Number two, he can bless you. In verse 11, and God said unto him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and mighty. A nation and a company of nations shall be of thee, and kings shall come out of thy loins. God can bless you. I want you to see that he blessed Jacob personally. I love it to hear people's testimonies of how God blesses them. But I want you to know tonight, I'm more excited when God blesses me. I am. I'm grateful to be able to hear how people can say, God did this for me. But I like it better when I stand up and I say, God did this for me. And he can bless you personally. Don't you think that you're void of opportunities for God to move on your behalf? God can bless you. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, in verse 31, says, for the Lord thy God is merciful God. He will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers, which he sware unto them. Why? Because God can bless you personally, and he desires to do so. Listen, he is not wanting to withhold any type of blessing in your life. He is desiring to open the windows of heaven and shower out on a blessing so much so that you will not be able to contain it and to hold it. I just know this. I've seen over the years that when you walk with God and you meet with God, that God gives you abundantly beyond what you could even ask for or whatever you could think of. Personally, I'm thankful for the blessings of God. He blessed him personally. He can bless your family. You know, in Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 40, says, thou shalt keep therefore his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee this day, that it may go well with thee and with thy children after thee, that thou mayest prolong thy days upon the earth, which the Lord thy God giveth thee forever. I thought it was interesting. I don't even remember who I was talking to about this. But we were talking about trends in society. And the interesting thing is this, that it would seem as though that people in 2016 are more concerned about what they can get for themselves now than they are as far as getting what they can get to leave or be a blessing to the next generation. And it has created a real problem in America. And wait a minute, we need to realize that God wants to bless you personally, but he does want to bless your family. And all that we might raise our children to walk with God. Train up a child in the way he should go. When he is old, he'll not depart from it. I'm just coming up. The older I get, I don't know, I'm just being hard-headed or cantankerous. I don't know what it is. But I'm just sick and tired of selling people out. I'm sick and tired of Christians expecting teenagers to be wicked. I'm sick and tired of people expecting people to backslide and walk away from God. It just seems like there's this concept that we're saying, well, God can bless other families, but he can't bless my family. Yes, he can bless your family, and he can move in a great way. You keep his statutes, you keep his commandments, and as you keep them, your children after you will be blessed, and God will move in a great way in their life. My desire is to see the power and the anointing of God greater and stronger on those who will come after me than what's on me personally right now. I want God to bless my family. I have nephews and I have nieces and I have family. My nephew's about ready to have, his wife's about ready to have a baby, and I'm just thinking of that little baby that's going to be born. What type of world are they going to live in? I'm just thinking about what kind of blessings are they going to be able to enjoy. All that we might meet with God so that God will bless us personally that it might extend to the next generation. Family, God can bless. If we can watch blessings come from generations past, then bless God. Let's believe God for blessings for generations in the future. He can bless you personally, family. He can bless us nationally. And I believe that with all my heart. I believe that America can move and be great if we'll understand that we need to turn our eyes back to the Lord. Psalm 72 and verse 17. Psalm 72, 17. His name shall endure forever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun. And men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him blessed. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only doeth wondrous things. And blessed be his glorious name forever. And let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. Oh, that we might believe God, that we can be blessed as a nation once again. And I know this, that if God moved in the heart and the life of Jacob, because he built an altar to the God of the house of God, and God changed him completely, and God blessed him nationally, then I just know this, that God can bless us too. And I'm not going to be defeated, and I'm not going to be willing to turn my back on God. I'm just going to believe God for great things and trust him. So you can change. God can change you. God can bless you. Well, verse 13 and 14 in chapter 35 of Genesis, he can meet with you. He can meet with you. Did you meet with God today? You said, I've been in church. That's the one I asked you. Did you meet with God today? You could have met with God before you got here. In Genesis chapter 35, in the text where we're at in verse 13, and God went up from him in the place where he talked with him. And Jacob set up a pillar in the place where he talked with him, even a pillar of stone. And he poured a drink offering thereon, and he poured oil thereon. And Jacob called the name of the place where God spake unto him, Bethel. And so here it is. God can meet with you, and he desires to meet with you. The question is just simply, are you willing to meet with him? First of all, he can meet with you in the church. In Ephesians chapter 3, Paul deals with this whole concept of the church and the brethren in the church, and God can meet with you in the church. And I just know this. I've been saved for over 30 years now, and I can't say that I've ever gone to church, been close a couple of times, where I didn't get a blessing. There's a couple of times I was wondering if I was going to get one or not. But I found this, that if I go in the church with the right attitude, God will show up and meet with me. And I find this, the people who are constantly saying, well, I just don't get anything out of church, it's because you're bringing a spirit with you that doesn't belong in the church. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, Paul helps us to understand this. He says, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. And so in Exodus 29 and verse 43, it says, and there I will meet with the children of Israel, and the tabernacle shall be sanctified by my glory. The amazing thing is this. The place where God established for Israel to meet was the tabernacle. And God said the tabernacle would be glorified by his, or sanctified by his glory. The church of Jesus Christ is sanctified by the glory of God that is present. Now we saw that this morning, that God has called us to glory and virtue. And all that we might walk in the light and the power of the glory or majesty of the Almighty God who has saved us and redeemed us. And as we walk in the value or the virtue of morality, as he has called us to glory and virtue, that we literally come into the church to meet with a holy God, and God shows up and he meets with us. Doesn't matter if I'm preaching or someone else is preaching, someone is testifying or someone is singing unto the Lord. And Matthew 18:20 says, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst. I am thankful that literally I can come into the house of God and meet with the God of the house of God as I hear the word of God shared. He can meet with you as he met with you today. He can meet with you in the church. He can meet with you in prayer. I love Matthew chapter 4, not Matthew, Acts chapter 4 and verse 31. It says that when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness. Okay, have you ever come to a place in prayer where you sensed the move of God so strongly, his presence were so strong that you could not move in his presence? Have you ever came to a place where you were gathered together maybe with one or two other people and you were going to the Lord in prayer and you were asking God to anoint you and move upon you in a great way, and literally you could literally feel the presence of God there? I'm telling you, there is nothing like being able to come to a place where you can meet with God like that. I remember Dr. Malone testifying years ago. He said that when he was in Bible college, he was walking down through the basement of the college, and as he went down through it, there was an old furnace down there, an old furnace room. And he said this, he heard noise down in there, so he wanted to see what was going on. And he said he went down through there, and he got in there, and he said there were several of the Bible college students down there. And he said they were all on their knees. They were all on their face before God. And they were praying and crying out to God. He said, I never heard anything like that in my life. He said, I never experienced any move of God like I did in my life at that point. And I went in. I said, I've got to hear this. I got to experience this. I got to know what God is doing here. And he said he went in there and the Spirit of God came down and his life was changed because God met with him in prayer. These fluffy, superficial prayers don't get it in 2016. We have to come to a place where we pray through to an anointing of God that comes on us and changes us because we know we've been in his presence. In Acts 22 and verse 17 through 21, it says, and he came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance. I'll tell you one thing, there's been a few times in my life, not many times, but there's been times in my life when I prayed that I felt that I was in a trance. I'm telling you right now, there's been times, I remember one time with Art Carpio when we were at the prayer advance. He and I were across that campground laying on our face before God praying. I didn't know whether I was in the Spirit or out of the Spirit. I didn't know whether Art was with me or whether he wasn't with me. All I know that I came into a knowledge of God and an understanding of God that brought me to a place of crying out for cleansing and crying out for forgiveness because he showed me the wickedness of my own heart. Oh, that we might come to a place of stop our superficial, stupid praying and get into the presence of God. And saw him saying unto me, make haste and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. And I said, Lord, they know that I am in prison and beaten in every synagogue, them that believed on thee. And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I was standing by and consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew him. And he said unto, depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. Old Paul understood what it was to be in the presence of God, that God would direct him and tell him and impress upon him literally whether his life was in danger or whether it was in his safety, that he needed to move on, and Paul could do it because he knew he had met with God. God can meet with you in the church and in prayer. God can meet with you in Scripture. Oh, that we never read our Bible just as a duty, but may we read our Bible so that God can meet with us and speak to us. In John chapter 5, in verse 39, Jesus said, search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. I'm going to tell you, you're not going to be able to come into the presence of God apart from the Word of God. You have to search the scriptures because the scriptures point us to the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the word of God that helps us to understand exactly who the Lord is and what his will is for our lives. If you try to find out who God is and meet with God apart from what the word of God says, you'll come up wrong every time. God will meet with us in the church and in the prayer room, but he'll also meet with us through scriptures. In Acts chapter 8, in verse 32, says, in the place of the scriptures which he read was this, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearers, so opened he not his mouth. And in his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. Who shall declare his generation, for his life was taken from the earth? And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or some other man? And then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus Christ. I want you to know tonight, it doesn't matter if somebody's been in Sunday school and church all their life, or if there's someone who's never been in church and they know nothing about the Bible, they know nothing about salvation, they know nothing about what the church should be, you take them to the Word of God because they can meet with the Savior through the Scriptures. And open up the Bible. Don't give your opinions. Don't try to guide them into praying a prayer. To open up the Bible and let them see Jesus in the Holy Script that it records to us who he is. Why? Because they need to meet with the God of the Bible. And they need to have an encounter with him. Well, old Jacob, I'm going to tell you, Jacob's life is very interesting to study and to evaluate. But I'm going to tell you, he did a lot of wrong things. But I think in chapter 35, he got it right. And when he came up to the place of Bethel, a place that he had been there before, a place that he had wrestled with God before, a place that he had encountered a move of God and a touch of God before. But I'm going to tell you, this time he got it right. And he got there and he focused on the God of the house of God. And as a result of it, God changed him. And as a result of it, God blessed him. And as a result of it, God met with him. I'm going to tell you, there is nothing more precious. There's nothing more precious in my life. There's nothing that I can testify to in a greater way than the encounters that I've had with God. I can still remember this day in 1979 when I called on the Lord and he saved my soul. I still can remember that conviction and the fear that was on my heart when I cried out to God and asked him to save me. I remember years ago, I was at one of the Sword Lord meetings or somewhere, and one of the preachers was testifying about old Bob Jones Sr. And they was at a great meeting. He was an old man, couldn't preach much anymore. He couldn't really get in the pulpit, very feeble. And Dr. Bob Jones Jr. went over to him, and the preachers wanted him to stand up and preach and give a testimony. Dr. Bob Jones Jr. went over and talked to his father, Bob Jones Sr., and told him, said, Dad, the men want you to preach. And Bob Jones Sr. told him, what, but son, I don't understand. What do they want? He said, son, they want you to preach. And so, Dad, will you get up and preach? And they said this, that old man, feeble, could not stand up in the strength that he used to have and thunder across the pulpit, the word of God. They said, that old man stood up in the pulpit. And the first thing he said, you know, I never will forget. When I was just a young lad, I was at an old-fashioned camp meeting, and the preacher preached the word of God, and I walked down an old sawdust trail, and I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior, and my life has never been the same. And he stood there for a few moments, and then he said, you know, I never will forget. When I was just a young boy, I was at an old-fashioned camp meeting, and a preacher preached the word of God. And as he preached the word of God, I walked down an old sawdust trail. And I received Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I've never been the same. He did that several times. And the people very quickly picked up on what he was doing. And a preacher out in the audience said, well, bless God, Brother Bob doesn't know where he is, but he knows where he's been. Amen.
And I'm going to tell you right now, if you've had an encounter with God, there's nothing that'll take it away from you. Nothing will change you more than the presence of a holy God in your life. I'm telling you, we need to stop coming to church and start coming to meet with the God of the church. Amen. Because I'm going to tell you, He is the one who can do something in your life that is miraculous. He is my life. He is my stay. To whom can I go? Where can I flee? It is God and God alone. Oh, that I might meet with the God of the house of God. Let's pray. Father, I come to you tonight, rejoicing in your blessings, your changing of me. Lord, your meetings with me. And God, I pray tonight, if there's someone here that's not saved, oh, Holy Spirit, draw near to their heart. Holy Spirit, will you overwhelm them with the conviction of an almighty God? And Lord, may they come and receive Jesus Christ as their Savior tonight. I pray for believers tonight, Lord, that we'd get our eyes and our hearts off of physical things and focus on spiritual things. Focus on the God of heaven. Oh, Lord, will you do a work in our hearts tonight? We can only beg you. We only ask you, Lord, to do something. Oh, God, come down. Will you come down? We plead with you, God, come down. We ask this in Jesus' name. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, let's just stand to our feet. If God has spoke to your heart, you want to meet with the Lord in prayer, come. Come and kneel. Come and talk to Him. With our heads bowed, our eyes closed. God wants to do something in our hearts. But we've got to be like Jacob. And return and we come to Him. We're not looking for anything else. We're looking for Him. The Grecians came to the disciples of Jesus Christ and they said, "Sirs, we would see Jesus." When you come into the church, are you coming to see Jesus Christ? Let's just take a few moments and pray and ask God to speak to us.
My Father, I thank you and praise you, Lord, for the wonderful anointing and move of the Spirit of God on the hearts of men and women and boys and girls. I want to praise you, Lord, for saving that young man this morning. I want to praise you, God, that you're still in the business of changing people. And Lord, how we pray, oh, how we pray that you'll receive the glory and praise for anything that should take place in our life, in our church, our ministry. And Lord, I just would ask for an unsettled, unsatisfied heart that always wants more of you. Thank you, Lord, for meeting with us tonight. As we reviewed and studied the meeting you had with Jacob. God, take us. Take our church. Do whatever you desire to do, Lord, that you might be exalted and lifted up. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.